hours. So temperatures, a high today of 30, a low tonight down to 20. Saturday, a high near 33, and then Sunday, a high near 37 degrees. We're at 29 right now in downtown Butler, and of course, we'll take another look at your weather forecast as we go throughout the afternoon, and of course, your news as well. If you would like news on demand, you can always get to our website at butlerradio.com, and on Alexa-powered devices, you download the Butler Radio News skill and say, Alexa, what's in the news? Dave Malarkey is coming up next with It's Your Turn. Thanks for joining us, and have a good day.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, hello there. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the snowy Friday edition of It's Your Turn. Folks, I want to tell you, for those of us on the early shift, it's been a long day already because, man, oh, man, those phones started ringing shortly after 5 o'clock this morning with school superintendents calling in. And it's one of those days, you know, this is not the biggest snowfall we've ever had. Three, some places a little bit more than that. But it's when it came, you know, the heaviest snow came just as school buses were getting ready to head out, just as the morning rush was getting underway. The timing could not have been worse. The snow has picked up a little bit right now, but it's not the big, fat, wet flakes that were coming down at 5 o'clock this morning when it was really accumulating rapidly. And then, of course, almost all the schools announced a two-hour delay. And then within the next hour and a half, they were all closing down, or most of them at least. So it was quite a wild morning. Plus, we had a lot of accidents this morning, too, as you just heard Tracy recounting. Well, it's just scattered snow showers from here on in. We've apparently weathered the worst of it, but do be careful. Gene Bowen is here, our first guest. Are the streets in the city are looking a little better? Are they mostly wet now? They've all been treated.
Yeah, they are mostly wet. I had no problems coming from Main Street. It's clear.
I think most of the main roads are that way as well. Some of the secondaries may not have been treated yet. It's cold, but it's not frigid. You know, we're in the upper 20s, so salt works very well once you can get the salt spread down. So anyway, enough about that. Take it easy if you must be out and about today. Gene Bowen is here because we want to talk about the VITA income tax program again. Gene is with the Center for Community Resources, CCR, and this program under which qualifying individuals can get their income taxes done for free, that's been around for a while, hasn't it, Gene?
This is our 10th tax season that we've been doing this program.
Hmm. Is underway right now, right?
It is underway. We started back the last week of January, and it's underway.
I do remember hearing the news story that the IRS was now accepting tax returns. It surprised me because it was during the last week of January. I thought it was February 1st, but it was during the last week of January. Are people getting their taxes done already?
People have gotten them done and gotten a refund back already.
Really? Well, folks, listen, if you qualify, that's the big deal about this because it's very, very fast. Obviously, it's done electronically.
It is.
And you never beat the price, right?
It's free.
It's free. VITA is the name of the program. That's how I say it anyway. VITA, which stands for Volunteer Income Tax Assistance, right?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
So we have a number of different locations around our region where qualifying individuals can get their taxes done. The first thing I suppose we ought to do is talk about who qualifies. There are income guidelines,
yes.
Right? And these are
set by the Internal Revenue Service, not CCR.
Okay.
So we just follow the guidelines. So it's 50,000 household income. That's mm-hmm. gross income. That's not net income. That's gross income. 50,000 or less, you can get it done for free.
So that's gross. That's it's not what you're taking out of your paycheck and putting
right,
in the bank.
Exactly. It's gross income. And also, there's a few other qualifiers. For instance, you can't be a landlord. You can't have self-employment expenses over $25,000.
But the big one is the $50,000 cap.
The big one's the $50,000 cap.
And you make appointments, right? Can you choose the location where you want to go?
You can. And mostly what we do when we take the appointment is ask where you live so we can get you to the closest location.
And I'm looking at the list here, and it appears to me there's a new location this year. Is that right?
There is. We are going to do a couple days up at Bruin, at the Bruin School. So mm-hmm. When you call in, if you are in that location, we're not doing them till later in the tax season. However, we will be doing some tax returns up at the Bruin School.
Can you make an appointment already, even though you won't be up there for a while?
Yep, you can call in and we'll schedule you up there if that's the closest to you.
This is the former Bruin Elementary School. It hasn't been used by the Kern City School District in many, many years. It was
correct.
Shuttered, but they're in the process of turning it into a community center. And I think you told me that Head Start's up there, right?
Head Start is in that building. So, yeah they're revitalizing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, convenient for the folks in northern Butler County.
Correct.
And I'm sure that'll be, they won't have to travel as far. What about the other sites, Jean Bowen? Where are they?
So we have a site on Main Street at Center for Community Resources. That's where the majority of the tax returns are done.
That's right across the street from Miller's Shoes.
It is. Mm-hmm. And then we have a site in Slippery Rock on Elm Street, across from the fire hall, at the end of the big parking lot in Slippery Rock, the public parking lot.
I was thinking for a second, but now I know where that is. Okay.
Most people know where that big public parking lot is, and the building faces that public parking lot. So it is at 165 Elm Street, and we do taxes there on Fridays and Saturdays. So you can call and make an appointment for that site. We also do it at the Cranberry Township building. We have an office there, and the North Pittsburgh Chamber lets us use their office too so that we can do more tax returns down there. It is in the township building, and we do Thursday nights and Saturdays there. So if that's closest to you, we'll make an appointment for there. We do it at Harvest Community Church, which is in West Katanning.
Okay.
So we're there on Tuesdays, and we can make an appointment there. And
is that on, is it 268 in West Katanning?
It's on the old Butler Road.
Okay. I know where that is, yeah.
It's located right off of the old Butler Road at 143 Reed Road in Katanning.
Okay.
And then we do it at St. Luke's down on Hannistown Road.
Oh, yes, down in the Cabot area, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. We're doing it down there on Tuesdays also. So, if you call in and you live in the Cabot area, we're going to get you closest to your home. And then we do it at Trinity Church up by Clearview Mall.
Mm-hmm. Trinity Lutheran, yeah.
Trinity
mm-hmm.
Lutheran.
It's right beside Clearview Mall.
It is, and very nice parking arrangements, very nice for anybody that is handicapped. That's a nice location.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to find a place to park.
Yeah.
So that's a nice location for the Butler area, and then again the Bruin School. So we have 7 locations. We have all Butler County covered. So whatever corner you live in, we'll get you closest to your...
Can you call the same phone number to make an appointment at any of these 7 locations?
Yes, you're calling the same number, and that number is 724-431-3767. And I want to send out a shout-out to the clerical staff and some of my volunteers that are taking those phone calls, because we're getting about... between 100 and 150 calls a day.
Wow.
So bear with us. We are getting to you as quick as we can, and we are booked out a couple of weeks, so bear with us. We will get you in for an appointment, but those girls and guys are doing a great job at taking those phone calls, and so You can call that number. Somebody will get back to you if you have to leave a message, and we're taking live calls as many as we can, as quick as we can.
Probably be getting more calls after this, you know.
I know. That's why I'm saying bear with us. We're taking as many live as we can, and we're calling people back.
Let me make sure I copy that number down correctly. 724-431-3767?
Correct.
Is that it?
That's it.
And if you don't get through to a live person, you can leave a message and somebody will call you back.
Yeah, leave your name, your number, and speak clearly, please.
Mm-hmm. And then you can make an appointment. It might be a ways down the road, but we're still very early in the tax season.
We're about 7 days out right now.
Yeah. Is the tax deadline day actually April 15th this year?
It is. This is the first time in a long time that they are cutting it off on the on tax day.
Seems like the last several years it's been the 16th or the 17th or
even
whatever.
Up to the 18th. The year that a couple years ago when they had government shutdown, mm-hmm. they pushed it out till the 18th. So
this year, April 15th, do or die, huh?
That's it.
Well, that'll be upon us before we know it. Now,
it's actually 10 weeks away.
you would know that because you're probably
exactly.
counting down the days here. We're talking with Jean Bowen. She's with the CCR, the Center for Community Resources. And we're talking about, once again, and this will be the 10th year now, that the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program has been offered through the Center for Community Resources. A great program for qualifying individuals to get your taxes done for free. This is just your federal taxes, I assume, your IRS?
It's the federal and the state.
State, too?
Yes.
And the state taxes preparation is also free?
Yep.
Wow.
Federal and state, free. And then we have teamed up with some of the local representatives to do your property tax rent rebate. We don't do that, but they are willing to do it for us. So
tell them where to go to get that taken care of.
You can go to Marcy Muscatella's office. It is up across from the high school at the old Curvin mm-hmm. Motors building. And they are coming to CCR on the 24th of February to do them. And it'll be first come, first serve walk-in at our Main Street office.
And that program has started up now, too.
You can do your property tax rent rebates now also. And then Senator Hutchison's office, which is on the Diamond, mm-hmm. is going to do some, too.
Excellent. I have more questions. We have more information to share about this program. It's a wonderful program for qualifying individuals. Need to take a quick break, though, so let's do that. I want to talk to you about, hey, look at the weather we're having. Man, if you need overshoes or boots or all-weather shoes or boots, Miller's Shoes, 215 South Main Street, downtown Butler, is the place to go. They've got a lot of stuff in stock. I can remember a couple of years ago. I don't remember exactly when it was. I went to put on my overshoes one day. We had like an inch of snow, you know, slush. And I went to put on my overshoes. Women don't use these, Gene. It's men. Yeah. You have the overshoes, you know, the rubber overshoes. I pulled them on 1 foot and it split. And it wouldn't even stay on. You know, it was worthless. So I went flying into Miller's Shoes. I said, Jimmy Chipran, it's an emergency.
I need
new overshoes in this slop. And he fixed me up with, he called it the Cadillac of overshoes. And within about 2 minutes, I was ready to go. I was out the door. And that was at least 2 years ago, and I'm still using them. They're perfect. So anyway, if you need those, or just boots. I mean, they've got Timberland shoes and boots at Miller's Shoes. They've got Skechers Go Walk boots and other varieties as well. So stop in. Ask Jimmy and he'll set you up. Also, athletic shoes for the whole family, men, women, teens, kids, all the famous name brands at Miller's. No matter what you prefer, Nike, New Balance, Saucony, Rockport, Keds, Skechers, Easy Spirit, Asics, ProPet, they got them all under one roof. I like New Balance myself, but that's men's and women's slippers. They've got them. Rockport shoes. Hey, stop in. Oh, also, your local headquarters for SAS American Made Comfort Shoes. That's Miller's Shoes. 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. They've been there for, what, 120 some years now. Unbelievable.
A lot of years, yeah.
Unbelievable tradition and history. And if you need bad weather gear for your feet, that's the place to go. Miller's Shoes. Okay, one more message and then I have a few more questions for Gene Bowen here on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn. I do want to tell you that coming up a little bit later on the program, we're going to be talking about osteoporosis. It's like bone deterioration, you know. It's a real problem for older people especially. Dr. Angus Worthing, MD, will be visiting with us to get all the information on osteoporosis a little bit later on the program. Okay, back to talk more with Gene here in just a moment.
Michael's Restaurant is now open for breakfast at 7 a.m. Join us for breakfast any day of the week, including after church on Sundays. Have you made plans for dinner yet? Bring the family for a great home-cooked meal. Michael's Restaurant also offers great Sunday dinner specials, stuffed chicken breasts, stuffed pork chops, lasagna, and more.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Welcome back. Gene Bowen is here from CCR. When I say that, I always want to say Credence Clearwater Revival, CCR.
You get that all the time.
Do you really? I bet you do.
Well, not so much from the young kids because they don't know what that is.
They don't know who Credence Clearwater Revival is. CCR for us stands for the what, Gene?
It's Center for Community Resources.
There you go. And it's on South Main Street, right across from where I was just talking about, Miller's Shoes, 200 block of South Main. And once again, the VITA program, the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program, is up and operating. It's already in business. You can call right now and make an appointment. It'll probably take about a week till you can get scheduled, because not all of the sites are open. They're only open selected days during the week.
Correct.
And sometimes in the evening in some places.
A lot of them have evening hours.
Yeah, so for people that are working.
Correct.
No problem. Obviously, you'll need your forms, including a W-2, which will immediately tell the preparer whether or not you qualify.
Exactly. Because, if you make an appointment and you don't qualify, we're going to ask you to go
not
to
gonna
a
work.
Paid preparer. But, yeah.
Your gross pay, it can't be over $50,000.
That's correct.
Yeah, gross, not net. Who does this? Who prepares the taxes for all these people?
Well, first of all, we're all IRS tested and certified. Mm. So, we get interns from Slippery Rock University, nice juniors and seniors from Slippery Rock University in the business school, who get practical experience at doing tax returns.
Mm-hmm.
They've come to classes and then they've done the test through the Internal Revenue Service. So we are all certified. I recertify every year. Anybody coming back year after year recertifies. So we do classes in December and January. And if anybody would like to learn and volunteer, we do ask if you come to the classes that you give us at least one shift a week of doing tax returns.
Sure.
And you do need to be certified in tax law.
So this is not just somebody who's a whiz-bang at math. You have to take the course and be certified so that you know what you're doing.
Correct. So it's not, you know, I get a lot of calls, hey, I do my aunts, my uncles, and I would like to volunteer. And then when I tell them that, you know, there's books from the IRS and you're going to do classes and not so much.
Is there a cost if you want to get certified?
There is not a cost. That is free too. And if you come to our classes, we feed you. If it's an all day, we do lunch. If it's an evening class, we do dinner. So there's a few perks to it.
And what about, you mentioned this, but I think it's important to emphasize it. you're not trying to sneak this past the Internal Revenue Service. In fact, the Internal Revenue Service loves this program.
They welcome it.
They know about it. They certify it. You're safe with the IRS.
I actually have somebody that I can contact on a anytime basis that is an employee of the IRS that is in charge of my program. Or oversees it, makes sure we're following the rules and that kind of thing.
I know from chatting with you in the past, Gene Bowen, that you yourself, even though you've been doing this for years and years, you need to take a refresher course every year prior to tax season. Are there any significant changes this year that people would want to know about that they should be aware of?
Actually, the significant changes happened last year with the Tax and Jobs Act. There are a few little odds and ends that changed this year, and nothing that's going to impact our clients, though.
I'm trying to remember from last year, there were some significant changes. Wasn't there an increase in the standard deduction last year?
The standard deduction doubled last year.
Yeah, I thought there was an increase.
Pretty much throwing everybody out of itemizing. There's a few that can still itemize, but the majority of us, I've itemized my entire married life, and now we are not itemizing.
And that's probably a good thing for preparers. It makes it a whole lot easier, right?
It makes it a whole lot easier for the IRS, too, because those forms are a lot less, and yeah.
Yeah. So that remains in effect, that the doubled standard deduction from last year, that's still in effect?
It does, and they put a cost of living on to that, too. So, like, last year it was $12,000 for single. This year it's $12,200. So the cost of living increase was $200.
A lot more than it used to be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sometimes they didn't put anything on, you know, so at least we did get the COLA allowance.
But otherwise, it's pretty much the same. Little nuts and bolts have changed, but not a great deal.
Correct.
Now, I'm sure that once these volunteers complete the qualifying individuals' tax returns, they're filed electronically, right?
They are filed electronically. Both federal and state are filed electronically.
Most people do that now, I think.
Yeah,
There can't be too many people who still mail them in.
The IRS doesn't want you to mail them in. They want you electronically filing. Yeah. So they make it, you know, they're trying to make it so that you're not paper filing.
I can remember years ago when everybody mailed them in. Remember the post office? Would stay open?
Yeah.
And downtown Pittsburgh stayed open all night. Even here at the Butler Post Office, they would stay open until midnight.
They would serve hot dogs and
all kinds of stuff. Go in. And I did that once. I mailed my tax return late on April 15th and had a hot dog because they were serving hot dogs at the Butler Post Office. They haven't done that for years simply because not very many people mail their taxes in anymore.
Yeah. The majority of them don't.
And even if you're, you know, if you're not involved in the VITA program, if you don't qualify, if you're doing your own taxes or having another preparer, almost everybody does it electronically. You also, if you're getting a refund, you get that faster, right, when you file electronically?
You do. Right now, the majority of the refunds are coming within 7 to 10 working days, which, you know, at the most, like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that most people opt for getting your refund directly deposited into your bank account, which makes it even faster, too. You don't have to wait for a check to come.
Yeah, if you're waiting for a check to come, they're saying 3 to 4 weeks. It usually comes quicker than that. But if you're direct depositing, it's coming much quicker.
That's a lot different than the olden days.
Oh, you waited 6 weeks to get your refund if you were lucky.
Mail it in and then wait and wait and wait. And then here comes sometimes you forget about it. Here comes the refund check.
Yep.
Well, if you're interested, or maybe, folks, if you're listening and you don't qualify because of the income guidelines and so on and so forth, you might know somebody, you know, in your neighborhood or in your family who would possibly qualify. Make sure they know about this.
Well, if you don't qualify for our program, there is a program online called MyFreeTaxes.com. Up to $68,000 you can make and do it on there. You get your federal and state free. I know some of the franchise companies, such as H&R Block or Jackson Hewitt and some of them, they'll let you do your federal for free if you're under a certain limit, but then they'll charge you for your state. If you go on to myfreetaxes.com and you're under that $68,000, you get both your federal and your state for free.
That's approved also by the IRS?
It is.
Yeah. Okay, listen, I want to, because there will be some people that have joined us midstream here, Gene, can we go over the seven locations where people can make an appointment to get their taxes done?
We can. The first location is on Main Street at Center for Community Resources, where you're there Monday through Thursday from 9 in the morning till 8 at night, and on Fridays from noon to 4, and on Saturdays from 9 to 3. And then we have our Slippery Rock location, and we are there on Friday evenings and on Saturdays from 9 to 3. And then there's our Cranberry location, and we are there on Thursday evenings and all day Saturday from 9 to 3. We have a Harvest Community Church over in West Katanning that we're there on Tuesdays. And we have St. Luke's Lutheran Church site, and it's on Tuesdays also. It is at the little white schoolhouse behind the church.
Okay.
So a very nice location there. And then we have it up at Trinity Lutheran Church, and we do that on Tuesdays and Wednesdays from 10 to 3. So that's during the day up there. And then we're doing the Bruin School. We're only going to do a few days up there, but we'd like to get that location going. So if you live in the Bruin area, give us a call. We'll get you scheduled up there.
And the phone number to call, same phone number if you want to make an appointment at any of the locations.
Correct. You're going to call 724-431-3767 to make an appointment.
And right now you're booked for about a week in advance, right?
Yes.
You need a little bit of lead time. Well, for most folks, you're going to get all your papers in order anyway. And for heaven's sakes, make sure you take the requisite papers that you need.
Yes, please. We will tell you when you make that phone call. We're going to read a list of what we want you to bring with you.
Okay.
The big things are, don't come without a Social Security card and your ID, because that is a requirement of the IRS. We all know, identity theft is rampant, and so we need that. That is a requirement of the IRS.
Do you have to have your card, or can you just know your Social Security number?
No, they want us to see that card.
Really?
Because, people get married during the year, and they do or don't change their name. We need to have that name, exactly what's on that Social Security card. So it's important.
I'm not sure I know where mine is. I know you need that if you're going to apply for one of the real ID license
you do.
Numbers. And because I know some people who have had to, they say, I got my Social Security card when I was 16.
They want an original Social Security card. So, that's...
And they've had to go to the Social Security office and,
You have to have your birth certificate. And if you changed your name when you got married, you have to have your marriage certificate. I don't know where mine's at, so...
And all for security reasons,
Definitely.
It's hard to get, but that makes it a heck of a lot harder for bad guys or bad girls to steal your identity.
Yeah, somebody to take your identity.
Gene Bowen, good to see you.
You too. It's always a pleasure.
I'm glad you're doing this program again. It's a great help for so many people, and it's free. It's free. Stick around. We'll take a break. We're going to be talking about osteoporosis, which is like deterioration of bones, and it affects a lot of people, particularly in seniors senior years. So we'll talk about it with a medical doctor coming up next here on It's Your Turn on WISR. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Howie Pentney with Pentney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pentney at Pentney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Time for a checkup for your pet. We recommend Suburban Animal Clinic. Or maybe Fido or Tabby's not feeling so well. Suburban Animal Clinic, a small animal veterinary practice located Route 8 south of Butler at the intersection with Thorncrest Drive. It's about 5 miles south of Butler. Suburban Animal Clinic, in the spirit of Dr. Dennis Damon. Their services include wellness checks for your pet, of course, also emergency care. They have laser therapy, dental available, also prescription diets. You know, one of the things that are problems for a lot of our pets these days, being overweight. Microchipping, they can handle that as well. Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, south of Butler. If you're headed south from Butler toward Pittsburgh, as soon as you pass all the auto dealerships, start looking on your left. That's Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8 South at Thorncrest Drive. Listeners, coming up on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, my name is Dave Malarkey. We're going to be talking about osteoporosis today. Over 50 million Americans have osteoporosis. Many of them don't even know it or know that they're at risk for it. So here to talk with us about this today is Dr. Angus Worthing, MD, medical doctor. He'll be discussing the risks and the treatments associated with this disease. Doctor, nice to talk with you here today.
Thanks, Dave. I'm happy to be partnering with a nonprofit group, the Women in Government, to talk to you today about osteoporosis.
Well, my numbers are correct. It's like well over 50 million Americans have osteoporosis. Wow.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And unfortunately, about one out of two women over 50 and one out of four men will break a bone because of this disease, osteoporosis. It's silent. It's a painless disease. People don't know they have it because the porous bone, or what is leading to the name osteoporosis, it doesn't hurt. Until and unless people break a bone, which is obviously quite painful and can be devastating for people. About a fifth of older adults don't survive the year after a hip fracture, so it's a critical topic for people and their families to know about.
Do we know what causes weak bones or osteoporosis?
Yes, so part of it is natural. We're living longer, hopefully happier, healthier lives. And after age 30, it's normal for bones to lose a little bit of their calcium. That's when people have peak bone mass at age 30. But some people's bones thin out sooner than others. Women are more at risk than men, especially women who undergo menopause early because they lose estrogen that helps keep bones stronger. But men can also get osteoporosis, as we said. Because of this, women, when they reach 65, need to get screened. Men need to get screened when they turn 70. And anybody over the age of 50 who has certain risks needs a scan.
Is it congenital? Does it run in the family? I had a great-grandfather who he was well up in his 80s, who fell, and he was in a nursing home for the rest of his life. He never walked again. And at the time, the doctor said, well, he fell and broke his hip. But I talked with another doctor some decades later and said it was probably the other way around. He probably broke his hip and then fell.
Unfortunately, that's the reality for a lot of Americans. About one out of four people who break their hip do end up in a nursing home, and it can lead to a lot of problems and other health problems because of the lack of mobility that your family member probably sustained. Some people get pneumonia because they're not moving around, or they get a blood clot, and these can be really difficult medical problems.
Sure.
And a lot of families know that their older family members have osteoporosis because of fractures. That is one of the main risks. If mom or dad broke a hip, if a family member is involved, has osteoporosis, that's one of the reasons that people need to get a DEXA scan to find out if they have it before they go and break a bone.
Does it often present in a broken hip or a leg bone? Is that where the damage usually occurs?
It's a little more common to break the bones in the spine, actually, the vertebrae.
Huh.
And that can happen just from the natural weight of gravity on somebody's body. But other important fractures happen in the wrist, the hip, like we've talked about, the ankle. And these can all be major debilitating life events. Unfortunately, only about a quarter of people that break a bone end up undergoing screening tests or get treatment. So it's great to get the word out so that people know if they've broken a bone, go ahead and get screened to find out if you have osteoporosis.
Is osteoporosis in the back or the spine? Is that what leads to, and we see this in some older folks, a stooped posture or kind of hunched over? Is that the problem?
That's one of the reasons for this sort of stooped over alignment of the upper back. That can be from this process of compression fractures or the fracture of the vertebrae, the bones in the spine, just crushing naturally under the weight of gravity. And when that happens, it can tilt the spine forward or one way or another. Can be quite painful. There's some other things that can cause those alignments as well. But when people notice that, that's another thing to raise the flag that it's time to get screened.
And you mentioned a few minutes ago that this occurs far more often in women than men. Is that because of hormones, doctor?
It probably is. Women are protected when they have estrogen, and so if a woman has menopause early in her life, she's at more risk. Men have testosterone, more testosterone than women, that helps keep their bones stronger. So everybody, every woman at 65 or earlier if they have risks, and men at 70 need to get screened. There's some other risk factors, though, which are good to touch on.
Yes.
For people, folks who have a family history, people who are too slender, thin, people who drink more than a moderate amount of alcohol or caffeine, and smokers are at a higher risk of osteoporosis and broken bones.
Hmm. We're chatting about osteoporosis with Dr. Angus Worthing, MD. A little bit about the doctor. He's a graduate of Princeton University and the University of Minnesota Medical School. Did his internship and residency at Georgetown University Hospital, where he's currently a clinical assistant professor. You mentioned screening. How is that done, doctor? Is it some sort of imaging or blood work, or how do you screen for osteoporosis?
That's a great question. The actual test itself is pretty simple. It's like a low dose of an X-ray, a couple of different X-rays that look usually at the hip and the lumbar spine, the lower part of the back, sometimes the wrist bone, and that in a computer tells doctors how much calcium is in those bones and what people's risks are of breaking a bone. From there, sometimes lab tests are helpful to figure out why people have low bone density and what they might do. Lifestyle changes can be really helpful, like taking calcium, getting vitamin D, and taking some good walks, a 20-minute walk every day. Medications can be helpful, too, to lower people's risk when they're identified having osteoporosis.
I know that you have a great interest in public policy. Do you happen to know if these screenings would be covered by Medicare for seniors?
Yes and no. So what's happening right now in the U.S. is every Medicare beneficiary is covered for a DEXA scan at age 65 for women and men at 70. However, the reimbursement cuts from Medicare over the last 11 years have resulted in thousands of scanners being taken out of doctors' offices, and 3 million fewer people received DEXA scans over the last 10 years than were expected, which, as you can imagine, resulted in more hip fractures in the United States. So it's covered, and I recommend that people ask their doctor about whether they need to be screened, and they can also find out more about how their elected officials can support screening tests.
Mm-hmm. I know you're a chair of some policy committees. Do your organizations lobby for changes here in Washington?
That's right. I actually practice rheumatology in Washington, D.C., and I'm the chair of the American College of Rheumatology's Government Affairs Committee. Right now, it's exciting that Congress is considering legislation to support osteoporosis screening. People can go to the website, womeningovernment.org, to learn more about this important legislation.
You mentioned calcium and vitamin D. I see more and more products at the supermarket that are fortified with calcium and vitamin D, orange juice, milk, for example. Should we look for that or not?
That's a great question. People, especially kids and young adults who want to pack in as much calcium as they can before they reach peak bone mass, should make sure they get enough calcium in their diet. Also, later, as people age and if they develop osteoporosis, they definitely need calcium. It's actually recommended to have 1,200 milligrams of calcium every day for people who have osteoporosis. And they can get it through diet just as well as vitamin supplement.
And you say that osteoporosis in many cases is painless. It's a silent disease. People might not have experienced any pain and not realize that they have it.
That's right. And actually, in my clinic, it often happens that we're reviewing somebody's DEXA test results. And for example, I might tell them that they have osteoporosis in their right hip where the scanner found low calcium content. And people will ask me, you know what, I've been having some pain in that right hip recently. Is that what's causing my pain? And the answer is actually no. Osteoporosis doesn't hurt at all. Something else is probably causing that pain, and we can get into that, but that's why it's so important to ask your doctor if you need a scan, because without that, you might not know that you have osteoporosis.
What else might be causing the pain? Arthritis or something?
A lot of things could cause hip pain. Yeah, in older adults where the hip is worn down, it can hurt. Back pain can sometimes be right around that area. And lots of other potential problems.
Mm-hmm. The scanning that you're talking about, is that complex, complicated? Can it be done by your PCP in a physician's office, or does it require a hospital stay? Can you talk about that a little bit, Doctor?
Sure. A DEXA test only takes several minutes. It's a very simple test. It's a lot like an X-ray where somebody lies down on a table with a small scanner above it, and the machine takes a couple of pictures, usually of the hip and the lumbar spine or maybe the wrist. It only takes a few minutes, and then the doctor is given a report of how much calcium is in the bones and, really importantly, what people's risk are of a broken bone. These scanners exist in a variety of settings, like a primary care doctor's office, some hospital or imaging centers, and people might get an order to go get the test from their primary care doctor, from a specialist, or when they're leaving the hospital, if they've unfortunately broken a bone and they've received care for that fracture, it's probably going to be recommended that they get a screening test.
Do you have to drink any kind of special concoction before you get this screening?
No, really, two-step process. Check in with some paperwork in which the paperwork asks if you have certain risks, like a family history, checks height and weight for certain medical conditions, etc., and then 5 or 10 minutes on the scanner and you're done.
We're talking about osteoporosis. It's a good time to talk about it. What about, and especially for older Americans, if you have osteoporosis, does that preclude hip replacement or knee replacement? Would that affect it in any way, Doctor?
Well, the answer is maybe. When people have osteoporosis, their hip replacement or knee replacement surgeon will often want to have the best quality bone possible to put that new joint in. And so we'll often work with orthopedists to make sure people's bones are as strong as possible going into surgery. But it doesn't mean necessarily that they can't have a joint replacement.
Hate to sound mercenary about this, but osteoporosis is responsible for billions of dollars in medical costs every year.
You're exactly right. We spent $57 billion last year on the cost of fracture care from the system and hospitalizations and also patients' out-of-pocket costs, families sometimes missing work to take care of loved ones. So it is a big problem, and we're in a bone health crisis.
We're boning up on the facts today, if you'll pardon that pun, folks. Boning up on the facts about osteoporosis. And a good man to talk to, Dr. Angus Worthing, MD. Thanks, Doctor. Very informative. Thanks for being with us here today.
Thank you, Dave.
Sure. So long now.
Plan ahead. We've all learned from experience that living day-to-day can lead to too many last-minute surprises, surprises that are often difficult and frustrating to handle. And so it is with a funeral. Planning a proper funeral takes pre-planning, so that during periods of grieving and turmoil, you'll want those arrangements to already be taken care of. Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler has been pre-planning funerals for more than 90 years, and the third generation of the same family is here to help you with that planning process now. Make these choices now. The funeral service, the choice of caskets, which minister, priest, or rabbi, cremation, visitations, flowers, church service or not, all these decisions can be made now before your emotions get in the way of logical and practical decisions. Pre-plan now with Thompson Miller. Think about it, and then call us and meet with us to discuss it privately. Call 724-287-3706. 287-3706. Pre-arrangements. It really makes sense. Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller. Because we care.
I can't remember the last time I went to the dentist. Now I'm too embarrassed to go because my teeth are in such bad condition.
Unfortunately, this person is not alone. Many folks put off going to the dentist because they fear being scolded for neglecting their teeth. This is Dr. Bob Todd with a special message. Dentistry today is faster, easier, and better than ever before. At our dental office, we don't believe in making you feel guilty, no matter how long it has been since you've seen a dentist. We know fear and embarrassment can cause a cycle of procrastination. If it has been years since you've been to the dentist, call us today. We will help put your mind at ease and bring your smile back to health.
If you hate going to the dentist but know you have a dental problem, help is only a phone call away. Dr. Bob Todd and his friendly dental team will answer all your questions and care for all your concerns. For complimentary information or to schedule an appointment at their Butler office on Evan City Road, please call 282-7774 or on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Coming up on the It's Your Turn program, this segment, listeners, I'm Dave Malarkey, and our next guest joins us by telephone. Presidential election in 2020. Big battle. Many folks, however, are confused, and rightly so, by the labels that are tossed around on the news all the time. Socialist, libertarian, liberal, right-wing, left-wing. Well, there's a book that gives some historical understanding to these political movements. The title of the book is Killing History. The author is L.K. Samuels, and he is our guest for the next few minutes. Sir, nice to talk with you today.
Well, I'm happy to be aboard.
What inspired you to write this book, Killing History?
Because I've been seeing history being killed or destroyed. I've always loved history ever since I was a high school kid. And working on another book, I was going to have a little chapter about the political spectrum, but all of a sudden it got out of control and took up my life for six years. So, remember Orwell saying that if you want to control the future, you got to control the past first. And to do that, you got to destroy truth and the history of truth. And that's what we're seeing now. We're seeing a lot of that. It's been going on for some time.
So that's where the title comes from. It's an intriguing title, yeah. Killing History.
Yes, because of... You know, George Orwell saw that happen in Spain in 36. He went there to fight Franco. Instead, he was in a pitched battle, gun battle, between Stalinists and Trotskyites. And he knows that the Stalinists were changing history. He was calling the Trotskyites fascist, the Stalinists. And, communists always killing communists. You see communist country attacking communist country all the time, you know. So, and that's how he got his ideas for 1984 and Animal Farm.
Do you think that people today here in our society really understand what it means to be a libertarian or a fascist or a liberal?
No, they don't. I mean, a lot of people, you know, it's hard enough just surviving, you know, every day from day to day. The real problem here is, you know, the history professors in many of the colleges. And I always say, if you want to find a Marxist, a hardcore Marxist, go to the history department. You're not going to find him in engineering. You know, in engineering, you have reality you butt against. You do something wrong, and it's going to all break. You know, with history, you can make it any way you want it.
So do you think most people actually know where they fall on the political spectrum, sir?
No, not really, because it's been distorted so much. I mean, the old political spectrum, that probably comes out of World War II, says that one polar extreme is Marxism, and another polar extreme is fascism. And, of course, that's crazy, because if you're in the middle between those two, that means you're half fascist, half Marxist. Mm-hmm. What people need to know is that that fascism came out of Marxism. And there's a lot of historians have said that. Sternhell, O.J. Greger from UC Berkeley. It's just a variant of Marxism. It's just a revision of Marxism. You know, Mussolini, just look at Mussolini. He was a communist for 2 decades. He ran around with Lenin, Trotsky in Switzerland, and Trotsky called him his best student. And he was a Marxist and a fascist for 6 years.
Wow.
He started up the Fascist Revolutionary Party, and then he supported Lenin's Communist Revolution and criticized Lenin for not being Marxist enough. And then when he ran for an elected position in Italy in 1919, and again, under his Fascist Revolutionary Party, he campaigned, slogan was, "I'm the Lenin of Italy." The Lenin of Italy. That doesn't sound like an anti-communist.
No, it doesn't. Well, let's talk some practicalities here as we gear up for a presidential election year. Can you talk about some of the ways that people can educate themselves on the political climate of today? I think most people want to be able to make a good choice, an educated choice with a coming presidential election. Can you talk about that, sir?
Well, yeah. I would just pick people who actually believe in the Bill of Rights. There's a lot of people calling themselves liberals that don't. You know, that's why I call myself a classical liberal. I'm, you know, a Jeffersonian, John Locke liberal. Pick the people that's not going to go towards the fascist, Marxist ideology. Unfortunately, I hate to say this, but, you know, Bernie, for example, I mean, I almost, every time I hear him speak, I almost fall over because I say, hey, Hitler beat you to the punch. You know, he was talking about government-sponsored job for everybody. He was talking, he brought around rent control. We have rent control in California now. And in 1933, rent control for the whole German, you know, state. In fact, Bernie, when he was a mayor, he said, we should get rid of private charity. Government should only run it. Well, guess what Hitler did in 1933? He banned all NGOs. No private charity. It was banned because he wanted to do social engineering.
We're talking...
it's just amazing.
If you've joined us a little bit late on this segment, if it's your turn, we're talking with L.K. Samuels. He's the author of a book entitled A Killing History, subtitle The False Left-Right Political Spectrum. Can you talk, sir, a little bit about what you think are the biggest myths in 20th century history that impact us today?
There's so many. One would be Karl Marx was a national socialist. I found one of his quotes saying, "We got to go to war to Russia for the greater glory of better interest of Germany." I mean, he was a pan-German. He supported Germany coming together. That's a myth. There wasn't much of an international socialist movement. It pretty well dissolved by World War I. The other myth is, and this was interesting, this came from a quote from Hitler from a 1920 speech that was unavailable until recently, wasn't translated, it was not on the internet until recently, and he said, we're socialists, and if you're socialist, how can you not be anti-Semitic? And so I had to look at all the early socialists going back to 1820 and found that they're all anti-Jew. Marx was very anti-Jew. There's things I can't even pronounce over the radio, the words he used against the Jews. That's because they were capitalists, and you know, and they're financiers and merchants and artists. You know, socialists don't like bourgeoisies, and they were it. So that's another myth.
How have some of the past wars two big ones in the 20th century have gotten us where we are today in terms of political ideologies.
Well, if you go back to World War One, you know, if we hadn't really got into World War One, there probably would not have been a World War Two. A lot of historians have said that. I didn't really get into that too much. But generally, wars make countries more statist, more controlled by the government. And usually, when the war is over, they don't, you know, get rid of these bureaucracies, you know, to spy on you or whatever. It just, you know, makes the state bigger. And pretty soon, you know, you're over there looking like the countries of Europe in the 30s and 40s. So wars generally are not something I really like. But, you know, there are such things as defensive wars, you know, the American Revolution War, when the country attacks you like World War II, you have every right to get involved. But as for politics, it does make the state stronger, and that's a problem.
Is that what you mean by the term statist? Because I've not come across that term before. You're talking about a very strong government when you say statist?
Yeah, statist. Yeah, on the book title, there's a second section to it. You know, I go back to the French Revolution. I consider, you know, it was the classical liberals and Thomas Paine that started the French Revolution. And they sat on the left side. The authoritarians sat on the right. And that's the way we should do our political spectrum. Communism, fascism, all should be on the right. They're authoritarian. But you could make a case that they're left and switch it around. It doesn't really matter left or right. It matters what you believe. Do you believe in individualism, property rights, that, you know, people should be left alone, that people people should run society, not government. I would just try to steer clear of the authoritarian socialist.
One of the parts of your book is entitled Modern Liberalism. Is liberalism different today than it was decades ago?
Oh, yeah. It keeps changing. It keeps going more towards socialism and authoritarianism. I mentioned I'm involved in a peace coalition, and hard to work with because they're so economics are not very good. But I, you know, lately I've been telling you that the conservatives have more liberalism than the modern liberal does.
Do you have? Are you optimistic about the future of America in terms of we seem to have so much tribalism today? Is there any chance that people will be able to work together?
I don't know. I mean, we have a long tradition of working together, and, you know, I have my opinion, you have yours, you know, and you're not going to try to shout me down. I'm not going to try to shout you down. But, you know, as you keep moving towards fascist Marxism, I don't know. We'll come back to what the founders were. I don't know. You know, most civilizations just have one golden period, and that's pretty well it.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background, L.K. Samuels? You're a writer. Have you taught, or what's a little bit about your background?
Well, I was on my college newspapers. I was editor for a while for my college paper. I'd done undergrounds, too, and I've started up a number of organizations like Rampart Institute and, you know, Future Freedom Conference Series, usually on a campus. I've been pretty active since about high school. I had a guy come in and speak about Czechoslovakia and how he snuck in and snuck out, and that guy eventually became a congressman. And I got that in a civics class. I don't know if they do civics classes anymore, but I was really impressed what he said about the Czech people and what the communists had done to them.
There are pictures of three individuals on the cover of your book, Killing History. One is Hitler, one is Stalin. Is the other Mussolini? I'm not sure.
Yeah. The one with the hand up, the Mussolini. And they're all wearing red armbands. They have pictures of Hitler wearing a communist-started armband in 1919, you know. And he was actually part of the Red Army of Bavaria, according to Thomas Weber. These are some new books that come out that found the archives of Hitler's barracks, and they, you know, he was voted. He threw his hat in the ring when the communists took over and wanted to be part of it, of the German Communist Party, and he was in the propaganda department, and he did not leave. You know, when things got tight, because when the communists took over, they started to kick people out of their homes, shut down shops, they took hostages, shot them, tried to get rid of money. Lenin kept calling up the leader of the Bavarian Soviet Republic, kept saying, "Have you nationalized the banks yet?" And Hitler was a low-level leader, and he was eventually arrested and interned with his whole barracks, and finally he realized that if he kept the communist stand, that he'd probably be shot. And so when he asked him, "Are you a communist or what?" he said, "No, I'm a social democrat."
One final,
and which, you know, later on he said he believed in national social democracy. He kind of moved away. I think that scared him when, you know, when he had all these street battles in Bavaria. Thousands died. The supposedly the Bavarian communists had about 20,000 or 30,000 Red Guard members, and the German Republic brought in maybe 40,000 troops, and there were street battles, and you know, what? But it was a hairy time, and the book called Becoming Hitler talks a lot about it. It's a German-born historian, and a lot of my material comes in that book.
A lot of food for thought in this book, listeners. The title is Killing History, The False Left-Right Political Spectrum. The author is L. K. Samuels, with whom we've been talking for the past few minutes. Nice to meet you, sir. Thanks for being with us here today.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.